Iran's foreign minister says that he rejected an invitation to attend a meeting at the White House when he was in the U.S. last month. Zarif says that he was told that he would be sanctioned in 2 weeks' time unless he accepted the offer. He stressed that Washington is not honest about its offer of talks. The top Iran diplomat also slammed the U.S. sanctions against Iran's leader and other officials. Zarif emphasized that sanctioning the foreign minister of a country means failure in diplomacy. He also says that the U.K. has been complicit in what it calls the U.S. economic terrorism by seizing a tanker carrying Iranian crude near Gibraltar.
The Islamic Republic of Iran believes that Britain's move in Gibraltar was piracy. There's no logic behind it. Saying that the move is in line with the EU sanctions is baseless. The EU has always opposed extraterritorial sanctions. Sanctions, if any, are for the member states of the bloc. We have said before that the ship wasn't headed to where they claim it was. We have announced it officially. What the UK has done is cooperating with US economic terrorism.
The top Iran diplomat defended the seizure of British-flagged tanker Istana Impero. He emphasized that Iran is responsible for security in the Persian Gulf. He reiterated that a UK ship was impounded due to violation of international maritime law, and a court is looking into that case. Now, time to shed light on this issue and discuss it a bit more in further detail. Joining me will be George Samueli, Senior Research Fellow with the Global Policy Institute from Budapest, and also Michael Springman, American author and former diplomat, who's joining us from Washington, D.C. Great to have you both, gentlemen. But George, what do you call this? I mean, threatening to place sanctions on a country's official negotiator, the top diplomat of a country, and this is, if you're not meeting us, we're going to do this, and they just did it. Is this diplomacy?
It's certainly not diplomacy, or at least it's diplomacy as practiced in the gangster movies produced by Hollywood. No, quite clearly, the Iranian foreign minister was absolutely right to reject the White House entreaties, because what would have undoubtedly happened, that the White House would have used this meeting as an exercise in propaganda to show how reasonable they were, and they would have probably imposed sanctions on him anyway in about 2 weeks' time, claiming that he had lied to the president and that he had reneged on promises that he had made to the president during this meeting. So an experienced diplomat like the Iranian foreign minister knows that he's being set up, and he was absolutely right in rejecting the American entreaty for a meeting.
Yeah, interesting perspective. Now, Michael Springman, Foreign Minister Zarif is saying that the U.S. is not sincere in its offer of talks. You know, who did he want to talk to when they sanctioned the person they need to talk to? And he has stressed this morning at a press conference that the doors of diplomacy have been opened. Iran has not left the negotiating table. It's been the U.S. that left the negotiating table. And he said that Iran will never bow down to coercion and bullying on the part of Washington. Washington needs to change its approach and policies, and then Iran might think of something. Let's have your comments.
Well, this is absolute nonsense what the Americans are doing, sanctioning the supreme leader, sanctioning the foreign minister. Who are they going to talk to? They're 8 blocks away from the Iranian interest section on 23rd Street here in Washington. They evidently don't want to talk to them either. When I was in Stuttgart, there was a slip of paper under the glass top of my desk that read, "Diplomacy is the conduct of relations between states based on tact and common sense." And so far, I have seen no tact and no common sense demonstrated by the United States Department of State or by the President of the United States for quite some time. They threaten, they bully, they engage in economic terrorism, and then wonder why no one wants to talk with them and why no one wants to deal with them directly. And they have simply cut out any way of talking to Iran. They won't talk to the interest section, they won't talk to the foreign minister, they won't talk to the supreme leader. Who are they going to talk to? A gas station attendant someplace in Mashhad? I mean, this is absolute nonsense.
All right, now, George, let's shift focus to this thing that's happening in the Persian Gulf for some time, tankers being seized. Iran seized that tanker, and because it was in violation of maritime law, and the court is looking into that. But what the UK did off Gibraltar was what Iran is calling piracy. Foreign Minister reiterated it was not destined for Syria. It was not based on EU sanctions, and EU does not consider extraterritorial sanctions for other countries. So that's absolutely nonsense what the UK did, and it's what it called piracy. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. It was exactly piracy. Because let's keep in mind, the EU sanctions applied only to imports of oil into the EU from Syria. There was no importing oil from anywhere. So even if Iran were transferring oil to Syria, it was acting entirely legally. Now, Iran says that it wasn't, but that's not the point. And moreover, Iran is not a member of the EU. Therefore, any agreement signed by the EU is members of the EU. Therefore, the EU has absolutely no right to impose its sanctions on Iran. It's one thing if it were the UN Security Council that was imposing these sanctions, because at least the Security Council has a certain legitimacy and it can impose its will on member states. But the EU is just simply imposing unilateral sanctions. And as I say, the way the UK have interpreted it is actually entirely wrong as to how these sanctions are supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Michael, there is also another point that Foreign Minister Zarif talked about in this presser this morning, and that was the U.S. unilateralism and the fact that unilateralism has no place in the world that we're living in today, and that still the U.S. is forming coalition despite the fact that it's embarking in unilateralism, a coalition, for instance, to provide security in the Strait of Hormuz. And Iran is saying that this is the job of Iran. It has been. Iran has been responsible for security in this part of the world because of its long coastlines, the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman. And Iran is ready to continue providing the security with the help of regional states, and we do not need any outside help. And he has stressed that anywhere the U.S. has stepped into, they have just brought misery for themselves and for people in that region. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I do indeed. All you have to do is look at history. All you've got to do is look at the division of Germany at the end of the war, the division of Korea at the end of the war, the division of Vietnam at the end of the war, and the complete and utter destruction of Afghanistan, Yugoslavia, Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The United States wants to destroy Iran in any way, shape, or form it can, and make as many people in Iran as miserable as they can by withholding food and medicine and essential parts for airplanes so they don't crash, killing everyone on board. So I think that Mr. Zarif is entirely correct. And Iran has kept the Straits of Hormuz open. Iran has kept the Gulf open and free of any problems. And yet the United States has an entire fleet, the Fifth Fleet, patrolling the Gulf and warning the British and the other countries to sail into the Gulf. The Germans, in a remarkable stroke of common sense, said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to get involved in this because I think they fully see that's a cause for war. And the Americans and the British and their NATO allies should stay out of the region and let it go about its own business under the control of the people who actually live there and have their own countries there.
Exactly. I appreciate your thoughts and perspective. George Zamuela, Senior Research Fellow with Global Policy Institute from Budapest, and Michael Springman, American author and former diplomat, who joined us from Washington, D.C. And that's the end of this edition of the News Review.